And wherever the cream is, they go for it. Well, that's what this sermon is. Last week was the cookie on the top. Next week is the cookie on the bottom. Today is the cream. All right? So because it's the cream, I had to give you an outline so that you had really the majority of the cookie in your hand, so that when you left and you were wondering what's up with this theme, we'll be able to review some from last week. We'll be able to give you some thoughts from this week. And next week, we'll be able to jump off the diving board and we'll finish our introduction to the theme. Now, there's some personal history with how the Lord began the process, really, this theme process in my heart and in the history of our church. I never intended to think of or develop or even write a theme for the church. Never thought of it. I knew there were other churches that did it. I knew there were other pastors that did it. Quite frankly, I never felt that I knew the Bible to that extent. Nor did I presume that I knew the Lord to that extent, that I could come up with a theme. But back in 2012, we had an abrupt stop in our business as usual routine. We created a financial roadblock by ever extending our building and our land loans. So looking back, it has become more clear to me that it was through that crisis that the Lord worked through the heart of your pastor and the heart of our church. This was a make or break moment for us. I don't want to suggest that we were doing ungodly or unholy things, but I do believe perhaps we had lost sense of a biblical priority. For at least 3 years, we experienced what I would call some real financial pain. I believe the Lord had to take us through what I might call a theological rebuilding process. Week after week, month after month, God would reveal through His Word a recovery and a rebuilding plan for me and for our church. Let me pause for a minute. I don't look at research about churches and pastors. Maybe I ought to. But the last I heard, the longevity of a senior pastor is 3 years, and the longevity of a youth pastor is 18 months. This is now 17 years. It'll be 18 in March. However, I don't believe that would have happened had we not made some course adjustments. And I think that's true in your own life. I've said this before. If and when you say no to God, He puts you on pause and He puts you on a shelf. Or maybe He puts you in a bureau where nobody can see you behind closed doors. Or maybe He puts you in one of those, you know, those special things in your dining room where you can see through the glass. You never use those plates, but you know you have them. Fine china, they call it. By going through that valley, the Lord clearly gave us a fresh start. It all began with our theme in 2013, Each One, Reach One. So for me, I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't looking for it. I don't want to say I wasn't praying for it. But God made it absolutely plain He was going to use that theme and bring us back. So the goal for that first year, and for every year since then, was to refocus, regather, and restore us so that we could get our priorities straight. Instead of church as usual, or just going through the motions of church, we wanted something more. Or to be more accurate, God wanted something more from us. I never envisioned, no pun intended, that the Lord would be so gracious and kind as to gently redirect our way into his way. John Bailey and I were in Lancaster, California at a leadership conference at Lancaster Baptist Church, where the Lord really impressed upon me the theme for the following year. So in 2014, our theme was "Our Faithfulness Determines Our Fruitfulness." And it seemed that each year the Lord impressed upon me and our church the next area of our personal and corporate church lives, the things that were most needful. The theme for 2015 was "Restore the Foundation of Your Faith." After reviewing numerous topics and doctrines that were foundational to our faith, the Lord then directed us to explore and to focus on Jesus. Theme for 2016, "Looking Unto Jesus." Then it was clear that the Word of God was reminding us that without our next generation, all that we have invested in will be for nothing. So in 2017, the Lord gave us the theme, "Generation to Generation." That year really changed us as we reflected on the importance and the priority of reaching behind and reaching forward to each generational challenge. And then the Lord extended us even further by studying one of the most important areas of his heart, that being biblical worship. So in 2018, we focused on the heart of worship. We were pushed to our limits at this point. And I wasn't sure if there was any other area of study that the Lord would have us focus on after that for a yearly basis. And then he directed us to approach the bedrock of our faith by looking at the importance of his word. So in 2019, our theme became "The Essential and the Enduring Word." Again, it was questionable if we could or should approach any other aspect of the faith in such a concentrated manner. Then we were directed to our own hearts, and some of the most powerful influencers that the world imposes upon us. So in 2020, the Lord directed us to the true heart locator, our treasures. Materialism. At this point, the Spirit of God made it quite plain that we needed as much preparation for the return of the Messiah as we could find in the Word of God. Therefore, in 2021, the Lord gave us the theme, "The King is Coming." And with all that excitement and anticipation of the Lord's return, he wanted to remind us again that there was personal and corporate church work that needed to be done in our lives and in our hearts for us to be ready. Therefore, the Lord gave us in 2022 the theme, "Refocus." And now we come to another year of prayer and preparation. Has the Lord written Ichabod over the entryway of our lives or our local church? The word Ichabod means the glory has departed. Or has he found us faithful to the kingdom plan that he has set before us individually and as a local church? Would the Lord direct us again this year into a focused and purposeful and intentional area of needed instruction? So with 10 years of biblical guidance and direction, personally and corporately as a church, I would like to move into our 11th year of growth and service and ministry. It is certainly debatable whether these 10 previous years have been meant to build one upon another. In other words, it is unclear whether this process has been like a ladder, where we began at the bottom and took a new step each year to go higher. Or perhaps this process is like laying a foundation of cinder blocks, where you place one at a time in the right place so that together, eventually, they make a wall or a foundation to build upon in the future. But it has certainly been my desire as your pastor to lead us and guide us into such a deeper and more biblical, and I would say a more authentic relationship with our Lord and our Savior. I readily admit, however, that my judgment, my decisions, and perhaps even my example, have not always been without fault or error. I ask for your forgiveness and your patience as the Lord deals with me personally. And I will ask the Lord for patience as the Lord deals with you. But together, it is now time to arise. Let us together arise and be doing. Let's pray. Lord, we talked about in Sunday school this morning the price that our friends and our neighbors, our co-workers and our relatives are paying for what might not be eternal things. But they're paying a price for things that matter to them. Whether it's their integrity, their honor, their family, their personal medical privacy. And Lord, we're watching how not necessarily churchgoers and not necessarily believers are losing their jobs, their retirements, their name, their reputation. And Lord, quite frankly, it's very convicting to me to watch people stand for the things that matter to them. Lord, you're asking us to arise, to wake up, to get up, to stand up. And I pray that you would minister to us in a very personal and powerful way. Lord, thank you that Sandy's back with us after her successful surgery. We continue to pray for her recovery. We pray for Karen as she recovers from her foot surgery. We pray for Carmen and ask that you'd be with her as well as Jose's family. And others, Lord, that perhaps couldn't be with us this morning. I pray for my wife as she's recovering from her flu bug that she's had this week. Let the Word of God and the Spirit of God speak to us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you have in front of you, look at that. We're starting off on the right foot. So this is going to be basically a review of the phrase, arise and be doing. Now, last week we looked at this word, arise. Now in front of you, if you can't see this, and I can understand you might not be able to. Either way, you're going to be able to take with you the essence of what I'd like to share with our church. I want to begin well so that we lay the right foundation. Every message this year dealing with this theme is going to build on this. So we'll start with the beginning of the phrase and the word arise. The word arise means to ascend or mount up or move to a higher place. It means to emerge from below the horizon. I can't see you. Well, get up. It means to get out of bed, to leave the place or state of rest, or to leave a sitting or lying posture. Arise. To begin to act, to exert power, to move from a state of what? Inaction. To arise. It also means to appear or to become known. Now, for some of us who have a tendency of being not in your face individuals, but kind of in the background individuals, it might be a time to become visible, sensible, or operative, as opposed to inactive, quiet, and a do-nothing. It means to be put in motion. It means to be excited or provoked. It means to begin, how about this, sedition, insurrection, or mutiny. Arise! Pirates of the Caribbean. How's that song going, Jason? Jason's writing a song for his music class, and he was telling me it had this Pirates of the Caribbean type of thing to it. And the boys started singing Pirates of the Caribbean, like out of the clear blue sky. What does that have to do with this? Arise! To invade or assault or begin hostility. You might say, what does that have to do with me as a Christian? I think all over the Bible, there's warfare. There's warfare. And the warfare we face now is spiritual warfare. I am reading three books from Medal of Honor winners so I can learn a little bit more about in-your-face warfare. Because that's where we are. To arise also means, according to the Bible, present tense rise, or it's kind of iffy if you say the word rose. He rose. Do you put that present or past? Past. But then there's the word arose. I don't want to, either way, there's, in your Bible, there's 131 times where the Bible says rise or rose. Then future tense, meaning if it's given as a command, arise, you haven't done it yet, right? So therefore, it's something that you should do, could do, would do, ought to do in the future. So future tense, there's 149 times, 142 times, and then the word arose, he arose, past tense, 173 times. So for some of us in this room, we haven't arose. We're kind of like Stephen in Acts chapter 7. We're sleeping. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy to rouse the group. It isn't. It's hard work. I mean, give me a pair of brakes any day. Brakes don't say no. Brakes don't talk back. Brakes don't have attitude. Brakes don't have a will. Maybe they do. You got to use a sledgehammer to loosen them up a little bit. But people work is hard. People work is difficult. Especially when God wants to begin the people work with the pastor. Because it all starts there first. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. You're welcome. So we're beginning the phrase, arise. Okay, so let's make an application. It means to wake up, spend less time sleeping, resting, relaxing. Just have a teenager. Try to get them up. Unless they're on a farm. Unless their food depends upon their behavior. Behavioral change is difficult. Because life is too comfortable. I was never on a farm, but there were some times when, in my history, where if I didn't get up and work, I wouldn't eat. There was no food. It means to get up, which prevents one from staying in the same position and condition that they have already been in, or maybe been in for too long. Depending upon what Christian author you read, there are many examples of ruts, farm ruts, and road ruts, where if it's not paved, or if you don't have crushed stone on it, you will have mud or dirt or whatever, and the weather will either soften or rain, and you have things that might be traveling on this ill-prepared road, and you find ruts. In Zambia, the ruts were so destructive that you had to be careful. You'd blow out the whole bottom end of your car. The shocks and the springs. And it was terrible. Stand up, which provokes one to do something. So we're beginning the phrase. Next, I want to look at the character of the phrase. So the beginning of the phrase is basically the definition of the word. Now let's look about the purpose of the word or the characteristics of the word. First, the word arise can be used as a command, kind of like a verb. It means to bid or to order or to direct or to charge. It means to imply authority and power, to control or to require obedience. When you command, I think all of those things are true. It means to govern or lead or direct. It means to have or to exercise supreme authority over. Arise, to have or to exercise a controlling influence over. In other words, it's not a suggestion. I'll think about it. Maybe I will. Another definition of the word, or an application of the word arise, is like a charge. It's like an exhortation. To rush, kind of like Joshua and the nation of Israel going and doing what God's called them to do. Blow the trumpets. Rush on, or to fall on, or to attack, to charge, to lead or burden, to throw on or impose that which oppresses. It means to lay on as a duty. I'm going to charge you as a pastor charges a new minister into the ministry. It means to entrust to, as an officer is charged with dispatches, or to load or lay on in words something wrong or reproachful or criminal, to impute to, as to charge a man with a theft, or to lay on, give or communicate as an order, command, or an earnest request. It means to enjoin or exhort, to give directions to instruct authoritatively. So we're looking at not only the beginning of the phrase, but the character of the phrase, and the word we're focusing on this morning for preliminary review is the word arise. Third, it means to challenge. It means to accuse or to call to answer. Have you done this yet? There's accountability. To call or invite or summon to answer for an offense. You've received something from the court to appear. To call to a contest in order to prove one side or another. To arise means to claim as due, to demand as a right. Arise. Third, not only the character of the phrase, but the quality of the phrase. Arise is an instruction, or it should be, or we could make it, and that's what this is here, kind of. The burden between charging and exhorting as opposed to instructing and informing. So God, at least in my heart, is charging us, instructing us, commanding us. We'll get there in a minute, Joe. So first he wants to give us instruction, information, and reminding us of the importance every once in a while, whether it's personal, corporate, work, whatever it is, we need a course adjustment. Every once in a while, we need a course adjustment. That's why the Word of God every day helps so we're not too far off course. To instruct, provide guidance and principles of action, behavior, and consideration. To arise means to provide direction while suggesting wisdom over alternatives. There are things in life that are not necessarily black and white. I had a conversation this week with somebody, and they said, "What's the answer?" I said, "The answer is wisdom." The answer is pray for wisdom. Well, what do I do? This or that? I said pray for wisdom, because there's no right or wrong answer. However, there are present circumstances, and there is past history. So therefore, in light of past history and present circumstances, wisdom should direct you into which way you should go. Not me, but which way you should go. Because I can't give you that wisdom, because I'm not where you are. Not only instruction, but the quality of the phrase is an encouragement. Arise, the act of giving confidence and enhancing success. Be strong and of a good courage, God said to Joshua. An incitement to action. Let's go, as Jonathan said to his armor bearer. That which serves to promote or support or advance and favor a cause. David said to King Saul, I got this. The Richard Scheer version. I got this. I killed a bear. I killed a lion. This is only Goliath. God will take him out. And the quality of the phrase, what should we avoid? When you arise, you're giving a positive suggestion as to what to do next, as opposed to doing nothing and therefore having to deal with the consequences of nothingness. So here is an alternative to an idle mind is a devil's workshop. I think that's how that goes. Instead of this, do that. Why don't we do this as an alternative to doing nothing? This morning, I'd like to talk about the expansion of the phrase. Arise, what's the next word? End. Now, you've probably never been to a service where you've had the word end preached to you. A-N-D. And. It's found 51,714 times in the Bible. I didn't count them. I had my computer software count them. And trust me, my computer's really not that slow, but it took a while for that little circle to keep going around. 51,714 places. In 23,875 verses. Oh, I don't think that word's important. God does. God does. So therefore, I don't want to avoid the word. I want it to be included because God included it. So we're going to talk about the expansion of the phrase. Example number one, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter number one. As you're turning there, now, again, there's 51,000 examples. I can't give you all of them. I'll give you five. I'll give you five. Now, just to let you know, I'm going to give you all New Testament ones. Because as I look in the Old Testament, the original languages, the Hebrew, like the book of Genesis, in chapter number 1, in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, I think it's like 30 or 40 times the word A-N-D is found. But there's no English equivalent to the word, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And, like in the Greek, there's a word for and, A-N-D, but not in the Hebrew. So that's why I'm going to stay with the Greek. I'm going to stay with the New Testament. Not that I speak Greek, but that's where I'm going to stay this morning. So I want to begin, did I say in Acts chapter 1? Acts 1:1. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began. What's that next word? Both. To do and to teach. Now that word both has a Greek word. I can't pronounce it, it's not important, but it has a number if you go into your concordance, and that word means and, A-N-D, in other places. But what I thought I would do is I'd start in a place that seemed, wait a minute, I thought you were going to talk about the word and. I am. But if you look up the word A-N-D on the internet and you look for synonyms for that word, there's a list about this long. A-N-D. All right, let's just try it out. Let's try it out here. Give me a word or a phrase that means and. Jason. Also. Janet. In addition to. As well as. Excellent. A-N-D. Give me a word. David, stop looking it up on the Google. I saw, look at him. He's cheating. Somebody else. A-N-D. Come on, there's at least 50. Jeff. T-O-O. Good. A-N-D. Yes. Also. Mm-hmm. What's the verse we're looking at? Both. More. Phrase or a word for A-N-D? Excellent. In addition to? I know. I saw that. Absolutely. Included, in, and, in addition to, yes. Furthermore. Mm-hmm. Now the one word equivalents, I think, are somewhat more difficult than the little phrases. All right. Additionally, again, along with, also, among other things, as a consequence, as well as, besides, both, by the same token, conjointly, counting, furthermore, including, inclusive of, in conjunction with, in like manner, likewise, made up of, more, moreover, more than that, not to mention, on top of that, over and above, plus, to boot, together with, what is more, with all, yet. Acts chapter 1, are we there? Acts chapter 1. Now there's another word in verse 8. We saw this morning in Sunday school as Jeff taught on it. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's that word? Both. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That means both. So that Greek word means not only, but also. It means both and. It means as so. So when God is looking at this particular theme, arise, in addition to that, as well as that, don't stop there, but there's more. End. Turn to Acts chapter 5, if you would. Acts chapter 5. Verse number 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, I'm ignoring the ends because I want to get to a particular word. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes. What? Both of men and women. Multitudes So believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of this and of that. In addition to both. Romans chapter 1, if you turn there quick. Romans chapter 1, two verses there, and then we'll go to our next example. So we're looking at the expansion of this phrase. We've looked at the character of it. We've looked at the quality of it, the beginning of it. We're looking at the expansion of it here. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Together, combined, one plus the other, synergistically. Look at verse 14. I am debtor, both, that's that Greek word and, to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Example number two. Example number two. Matthew chapter 28, if you would go there. Matthew chapter 28. Now, believe it or not, we're going to look at the exact same word according to the Greek concordance. So it's the same word, but it's used in a different way. I don't want to say it's translated in a different way, but it is. Matthew 28, verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel. So first of all, there was an assembly, gathering of them, and then they received counsel. What happened then? They gave large money unto the soldiers. So one event led to another event, which led to another event. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jeff had mentioned this morning in Sunday school regarding the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. John 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, and he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, unto Jesus, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he, the Lord Jesus, abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Verse 42. And said unto the woman. So there were some that believed because the woman had told her testimony. There were others that believed, according to verse 42. Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In other words, some had believed because of her testimony. This group in verse 42 had believed because of the words of Christ himself. So there was an addition there. There was a, we did it this way, you guys did it that way. I don't want to say there was an alternative method of salvation, but there was an addition here. There was more to do. She had done her part, and then those in the city said, no, we want to speak to the Lord directly. Third example. This is a different Greek word for and. John 4, verse 39. Now, you probably should still be there because we haven't left. All right? So we're in the same passage, but we're going to look at the first verse we read and look at that first and because it's a completely different Greek word. It's a primary particle that basically means also and but moreover and now. John 4:39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Also, many of the Samaritans. Moreover, now many, you see, there's more to do. Fourth example. Turn to Acts chapter number 1, if you go back there. Acts chapter number 1. Now, this is a pretty extensive definition for this Greek word, A-N-D. Now, you have it on your sheet. I'm just going to read what my concordance said about this word. Apparently, a primary particle having a copulative and sometimes also a communicative force. Meaning, or another word for that particular word, and also even, so then to. B, often used in connection or composition with other particles or smaller words, and also both, but even for, if indeed, likewise, moreover, or so that then, therefore, when, yea, yet. Now you know why there's 51,000 examples of the word end in the Bible. Acts 1, verse 13. You all there? End. That's the Greek word we're looking at right here. All right? When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, what's the next word? And James, what's the next word? And John, same word. What's the next word? Andrew, Philip, what's the next word? Same word, same Greek word, Thomas, Bartholomew, next word, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, the next word, Simon Zelotes, the next word, Judas, the brother of James. So in that one verse, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those Greek words with that huge definition of what that, you see, it's not just, could you get that too? Aren't I on the list? Yeah, you're on the list. We added you. You see, this is, so when God wrote in 1 Chronicles, arise therefore and be doing, it wasn't just, get up out of bed, thy sleepy head. It was more than that. There's more to do than just getting up. Acts chapter 2, you're right there. Acts chapter 2, we're talking about Peter preaching at Pentecost at the feast in Jerusalem. And we have representatives from 16 different nations that are there, all Jews with all of their own native languages, as well as Hebrew, which they all knew. Verse 8, and our key word, how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians, next word. Medes, next word. Elamites, next word. The dwellers in Mesopotamia, next word. In Judea. Now, that word, and, is example number one, and. Well, it looks all the same to me. And in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, verse 10. Example number one, A-N-D, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 ands in that phrase. And Isn't it easier just to get on the lazy river? Come on now. We're all looking forward to our vacation. We're all looking forward to kicking back and just resting and relaxing. And unfortunately, we forget. Unfortunately, we forget that it's a never-ending warfare. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that never rests. Never. We are in warfare 24/7. Arise. End.
But I'm tired.
You can rest for all eternity. You can rest for all eternity. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, who's in charge? Who's the adult in the room? They are, or you are? Well, I am. Well, look in the mirror and tell yourself to shut up and that you're in charge. Be quiet. We're going to do what God's called us to do. Example number 5, and then we'll close this down. This is the same word. I'm sorry, we did that. That's example 4, right? Example 5. This is the same word as the word both and the word and that we started with. The Greek word, here we have the word also. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, if you turn there. Romans 1, 16. Romans 1, 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Now, there's no period there. There could be, but there isn't, because God wanted us to know that our commission is a both commission. It's an also commission. It's an and commission. In addition to this, that. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, I don't like those Jews. I don't understand those Jews. I don't know a thing about Orthodox Jews. How could I witness to a Jew? I have no idea where to begin. Well, according to God's word, you could pray. You could read, you could learn, you could study your Bible, because there's a passages of Scripture that you could go to in the Old Testament, like we talked about this morning, Isaiah 53. You could go to Psalm 16. You could go to some very familiar passages of Scripture, even with Catholics. You could lead a Catholic to Christ right out of the book of Psalms. All right. Application. We're all waiting for the application. Okay, what does this have to do with me? Once you have woken up, once you have gotten up, once you have stood up, then there's more. Why wouldn't you let me sleep? Why wouldn't you let me rest? Because God wants us to do more. God has additional responsibilities for us. God has additional opportunities for us. It's the opportunities. If we just say yes, if we just stand up, if we just say, I'm willing, God has opportunities. And with those opportunities come responsibilities. Right? If you're a parent, if you have a job, if you're a citizen, there are responsibilities.
I don't like those responsibilities.
Trust me, when you're 6 feet in the ground, there are no many more responsibilities. Those responsibilities are over. Theodore Roosevelt, in a speech in 1899, said this: "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better." Sounds like an armchair quarterback. "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, who does actually try to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. Far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor saints who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat. Theodore Roosevelt, April 10th, 1899, before the Hamilton Club in Chicago. In Chuck Swindoll's book, Hand Me Another Brick, that is called attempt. Arise. And there's more. Let's pray. Lord, you have our best on your heart. You don't want us to be just good enough. You've designed circumstances and opportunities, as well as church services, to remind us that slothfulness or being at ease in Zion might be good for a moment, might be good for a day. Even Jesus took his disciples so they could be refreshed. And that's all understood. But Lord, there's work to be done. You're coming back. And as Stephen said this morning, unfortunately, many of us believers are so entwined with the world that it would be hard for us to leave it. It's hard for us to think about heavenly things, spiritual things. It's hard for us to put life in perspective. But Lord, that's our goal here. That's what your desire is through your word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The world, the flesh, and the devil are screaming. They're spending millions and billions of dollars to convince us that there's nothing after this. When, Lord, your entire word reminds us and assures us that at the grave, that's just the beginning. Lord, we have a blessed hope. And you're asking us, you're encouraging us to share that blessed hope with others. The Lord knows the closer it is to his return, things are going to get more difficult. The price of our faith will be higher. Lord, you're trying to prepare us, to remind us that the day might come when we might have to stand for you and lose our job. The day might come where we speak for you and we might lose our retirement. The day might come where we go abroad to tell others about Christ and we might lose the comforts of America. The day might come when either by accident or by intention, our life is taken for you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to arise and be ready. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not ready. Maybe you're not sure where you'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. Maybe you're not ready with the current cultural climate we live in. Maybe you're not ready with either the current relationship you're in or the relationship you're praying about. Lord, how we pray that you would reach out to those individuals personally, and Lord, that you'd minister to us as a church family. Direct us and guide us, that we might come before your presence, as Jeff said this morning, not to see your blessing, but to see your face. That our prayers would be more than a shopping list. Lord, fill us with yourself. Use us to share the greatest news in all the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There'll be a video hymn, song for the end of the service.